You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as per usual, I am your host, Hendy. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. Today we have an exciting show lined up for you. Some great conversations with some great people lined up today. But welcome to the Eagle Sports Zone, coming to you live from our Windhoek studio on this warm Sunday evening. And today we're gonna have a bit of a mixed show. You know, we're still gonna continue with our Rwandan conversations. Those of you that tuned in, that got to hear that great interview we had with one of our Rwandan colleagues. It's Mr. Elijah, spoke to us, gave us an extensive interview, some on-the-ground coverage, not only of the UCI Road Championships that took place, but about Rwandan sports overall, about the country, about the social climate over there. So if you happen to have missed that conversation, fear not. Simply go to the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na, or download the Eagle FM mobile application. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia, whether that's on the App Store, Apple App Store, or on the Google Play Store. Free to download. But whether it's the website or the application, simply go to the podcast section, type in Eagle Sports Zone, and you will see a plethora of Eagle Sports Zone's episodes available for you. Click the most recent one and you will have access to that great interview that I just referenced. And by the way, you can do this for any show on Eagle FM if you happen to have missed your favorite show. Or maybe you want to listen again. You know, I've heard some of you listen to some shows several times. So if you want to listen again, or you want to catch up on a particular show that you missed, you maybe saw an interesting topic that you weren't able to tune into, simply go to the podcast section. Type in your favorite show, whether that's from last year, whether that's from last week, last month. It's all available for you for free on our various digital platforms. As always, you are free to join us in the studio by dialing 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. If you'd like to tune in, if you'd like to call in, excuse me, ask questions, contribute to the conversation, or just share anything sports related, we accommodate all calls, all opinions, all questions. Now, as I said, today we have two special guests actually joining us today in the studio. First one being one of my favorite, I was thinking if I'm even allowed to say this, but one of my favorite Namibian athletes that I enjoy watching is a young lady by the name of Olivia Shililifa, who is a cyclist, Namibian cyclist, female cyclist, young female cyclist, who, recently put us on the map by winning the 2025 MTN Kaimani Road Classic over in Eswatini. She came first in that one, almost 30 minutes ahead of the person who came second, which is quite impressive. But yes, Olivia is someone who, you know, if you've been tuning into our social media pages, whenever there's a cycling event, we usually do catch up with her. She always gives us some great interviews, great insight into her race that day. And, we will have her in studio in a few moments, you know, to not only talk about her great international win, but her career overall, her journey through the sport. And, I think you guys will enjoy this interview very much. And then, as I said, we're still touching on, still a lot of content coming from Rwanda, from my time in Rwanda. And we're going to talk to my good friend, Booster Kirshner, a very interesting man, you know, from Denmark, but lives in Zambia. And we're going to talk about the Kigali 2025 UCI Road World Championships that took place last week. A historic event, and he's going to give us a bit of a different perspective of things, different way of looking at the games compared to what we discussed with Elijah. So yes, welcome to the Eagle Sports Zone. We have an action-packed show for you today. And Before we get into those, of course, we will run through some local sports news and some international news as well. And don't forget, the line in the studio is 0832-888-401, 0832-888-401.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
So, welcome back. In terms of our local sports news, what we'll start with is the Sam Nujoma Stadium. A topic that, I know you guys are very, passionate about. And rightfully so. But, work is finally beginning on the Sam Nujoma Stadium as the city of Windhoek officially handed over the stadium to the contractors that are gonna start one of many renovation processes. They're starting with the pre-casting, they said. They didn't get into specifics, but those of you that are engineers, you will know that pre-casting is covers a wide range of things. So it could be the pre-casting of the slabs, the seats that are there, or the outside structure itself. But nonetheless, they have started with that. They handed it over, and they said it will take about a full year, 12 months, for that pre-casting to be finished. And they said it will run at a cost at approximately 13 million is what the city of Windhoek said. But interesting thing during this announcement, this was that they said the Sam Nujoma Stadium will only be used for football, no recreational activities, which, I 100% understand why, they would make that decision. I mean, if you look at the turf in there, it's not in a great condition, and it's not only because of the amount of football that was played there. So I understand, to preserve the facility and all that. But it also kind of goes against, what our government and what our leaders have been preaching when it comes to facilities in our country and how we want them to be multi-purpose, multi-use. The multi-use nature of facilities is what makes them so important. Not only so that sport can be played, but so that other things can happen there, whether that's concerts, whether that's, especially Sam Nujoma political rallies, whether that's, any sort of event that has been booked there is a revenue driver for the facility. So the city of Windhoek has made the decision. I don't know if this decision will stand, permanently. I'm inclined to believe that it'll change, but time will tell. But they've made the decision to say this stadium will only be used for football and football only. So let's see how that goes. But positive news that work is finally beginning on the Sam Nujoma Stadium. And of course, and as I said, I emphasize this is only one of many phases that still need to take place. Basically the whole stadium needs to be redone. So this is, let's say, maybe 1 out of 10 projects that they've started. So I say that to say, let's not get too excited. It'll at the very, very, very minimum, it'll be another year before football can be played there. International football probably even longer. But perhaps the other renovations will begin as well throughout these next 12 months, and things could speed up and we could see football there sooner rather than later. In terms of the Independence Stadium, no real update for you there. Work still hasn't begun on that one, but when it does begin, we will of course be here to share that news and give that update. Local football wise, I mean, most of you are aware that the government has given 10 million Namibian dollars to help the NFA with putting on the local football, our Premier League. Still no particular start date given on that. It should have started at least a month ago. Usually they start in around August, September. So the update on local Premier League football, is that the government has chipped in with $10 million and about 8 more is needed, according to the NFA, for them to be able to put on the full league. So we will keep you up to date on that. as more information comes in. But as things stand, there is no local football in Namibia. Moving on to still staying with football, but the developmental side of things, the NFA had a tournament this weekend. They're calling it sort of a schools tournament, but what it really was an under 15 tournament where under 15 teams representing the various regions came to Windhoek over this weekend to play in a tournament basically to identify the best under 15 players. And these are players that are going to be selected for the CAF African Schools Championship. You guys remember that we hosted in Walvis Bay that was last year? Was it last year? Yeah, last year. In around November, October, around there. That we hosted in Walvis Bay. So, and if you guys recall, a lot of the coverage for that was about how unprepared we were, really, as a nation, as a host nation even, for this tournament. So, you know, now the NFA, I assume, has taken that on board. They've heard from, you know, the whole country saying basically why were we this unprepared? So they've started preparations months in advance this time around and are going to use that tournament, which Comas won, by the way, both the women's and, or the boys and the girls side, Comas won. So we shall see how the under 15 team comes to fruition for the championship. Then we also have a group of para athletes over in New Delhi, India. That is for the World Para Athletics Championships that I believe concluded today. But we had our own Anania Shikongo, who made the 100 meter men's final, and in doing so actually broke the African record for the 100.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I was saying before the commercial break, Ananias Shikongo over in New Delhi, India at the World Para Athletics Championship set a new African record, breaking his own African record, by the way, in 100 meter T11, where he finished in a time of 11.08. So, congratulations to Ananias. Then, Ananias actually also won a silver medal. Excuse me. I forgot to say that at the beginning. He won a silver medal for Namibia. This was in the 100 meter T11 final where he also set in the final. The one I spoke about just now was a semi-final, and then in the final itself, he broke the African record again, this time running in 11 seconds flat. So Ananias Shikongo, flying the Namibian flag high over in New Delhi, India. And then on the cricket side of things, we have our men's side, who, by the way, are playing against South Africa in Namibia next Saturday over at the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground. That will be the official opening with the Proteas coming to Namibia. Eagle FM will, of course, be present to give you coverage, give you visuals, and as usual, get you all the needed information. But they are over in Harare right now, playing the ICC T20 Africa qualifier. This was a tournament for African teams to qualify for the ICC T20 World Cup happening in India and Sri Lanka next year. And our boys, they managed to qualify, the two finalists, which were Namibia and Zimbabwe, automatically qualified to the ICC T20 World Cup. Unfortunately, they lost the final today, but nonetheless, the bigger goal at hand was achieved, and that was qualifying for the World Cup. So, let's get into our chat for today. First, we will start with my good friend, Booster, from Denmark, as I said, to, talk about the experience in Rwanda, the experience, especially from his perspective. You know, he's not necessarily a sports journalist. He's more of a overall, I guess you can say, you know, more political kind of journalist, investigative journalist is what I call him. And I really enjoyed the lens in which he covered the games, even though he's doing it for Danish media. But, you know, Google Translate was my friend to read his pieces, and he gave us some very interesting insight when it comes to the championships and Rwanda overall. And yes, let's get into conversation with Booster. Okay, so coming to you from Kigali once more, I'm joined by my good friend Booster.
Booster,
yeah. I wanted to pronounce it correctly. My good friend Booster here that I met in Kigali, Rwanda. Booster, how are you doing this evening?
Doing very good. Thank you for having me here on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it. All is good. We've been outside the whole day, running up and down, watching cycling. So, yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, I think we've been in Kigali around the same amount of time now. We just had the men's elite race finish, and give us a... Okay, first, before you give us your thoughts on Kigali, give our audience a bit of a background about who you are, what you do, where you live, because you have a pretty interesting story. So please share with the listeners.
No, thank you, man. My name's Booster Emil Kirchner. I'm from Denmark. I work as an Africa correspondent. I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. I'm currently based in Zambia, in the beautiful neighboring country to Namibia. Mm-hmm. We share a border. I'm based in Lusaka, but I travel a lot. I cover various topics and areas around Africa. And usually I do it with a critical lens, but also a balanced one, trying to, demystify some of the stereotypes about this wonderful continent. I also do hold a master's degree in African studies.
Mm-hmm. No, that's excellent. And for the listeners, you were actually, in Namibia as well for the past elections that we had. We might have crossed paths, I don't know, because I was covering that also. So you're quite a knowledgeable person for what we are about to talk about. So, first, let's start with your thoughts on the week overall here in Kigali.
Well, thank you, brother. I think it has been quite interesting to be here. It has been... It has been, first of all, very well organized. Mm-hmm. Looking at the event, isolated, it has been very well organized. Mm-hmm. We've had a structure whereby The streets were clean. Mm-hmm. The organization and the hospitality has been top. So in terms of regarding, in terms of organizing the event, I can't complain, whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Of course, what also strikes one when arriving here is that it's so different from other African countries. Mm-hmm. You don't really ask critical questions here. And, you know, whenever I travel around the continent, whether that's Tanzania, Ethiopia, Ghana, you always have a lot of people complaining about their president, their politicians, about levels of corruption. Here, everyone is embracing their president. They are really, really positive about the regime, mm-hmm. about the state of the country. Mm-hmm. So it has been very odd, yeah. but yet very pleasant to be here. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that now leads into my next question about the president, Mr. Kagame. You know, when coming in, you know, I won't say I was an expert on Rwanda and particularly the history as well and Kagame's presidency, but you know, I heard of bits and pieces. You know, some media outlets say he's a dictator, things like that. So you don't really know until you come here. And then when I came here, for example, at the opening ceremony, he wasn't there, but they just mentioned his name. The crowd goes wild. Today you saw when he came out at the prize giving, he didn't speak again, but you know, the crowd goes wild. They're chanting his name. So it's like, I was, during this week, I was a bit confused as in, is this like how people really feel about him? Or is it like, is that the only choice they have to feel about him?
Good question.
And then, you know, speaking to some locals, they, like you said, they praise him. I haven't heard a single person say anything bad about him. I even saw someone had him as a wallpaper. So, you know, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, if you had, your thoughts on Kagame coming in and now that, you're here, what are your views on him and his, I guess you can say, regime?
I honestly think a lot of people adore him, mm-hmm. and they appreciate him. And I do understand them. Let's to the listeners just provide a few basic, statistics. When he officially took over power here in the country in year 2000. Mm-hmm. He was also unofficially kind of leading the country in a handful of years before that. But in year 2000, Rwanda was in a very difficult state.
Yeah.
Looking at human development indexes, looking at socioeconomic aspects, they were actually suffering here. Mm-hmm. That guy has transformed the country. Mm-hmm. That guy has now, you know, the life expectancy has increased with 20 years. Mm-hmm. Poverty has been cut in half. It's been reduced significantly. Mm-hmm. I heard someone telling me that in 1995, and we need to check up on this, but only 5% of the population had access to electricity.
Oh, wow.
Today, that's 80-something%, 84%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he has done a massive, turnover in this country, and they appraise him for that. Mm-hmm. That being said, it's also very difficult to quantify how do people in a place like this, which is in fact a dictatorship, because there's no opposition, and mm-hmm. when you disagree with the president, you are not in a good position.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to kind of understand what do people really mean, because in fact they have no choice. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to kind of take that into consideration as well. But you know, understanding where the country is coming from, and I think people like you and me who are just observing things here and also reading into the history, you know, the country was absolutely in shambles in 1994.
Yeah.
They had millions of internally and externally displaced people. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure was completely destroyed and everything. And the guy has turned the country around. And and understandably, most people apparently love him for that.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And I got the opportunity to go to the Bugesera district. Mm. Going there, I didn't know the history before I went there, that it was like one of the major, genocide sites, essentially. Mm. And so to see it turn around so quickly, I mean, it makes me think of Namibia. We also only got our independence in 1990, and Rwanda essentially started building themselves up 1995 onwards. Mm. So it's, there's that parallel there as well.
Yeah.
So I want to, talk about, if you think there's an element of sports washing in Rwanda. You know, not just with these UCI championships, but Rwanda has really made a big focus on using sport to develop the country, become a global sports hub. Do you think there's an element of using sport to cover up maybe some of the things that they don't want us to see or speak about?
Yeah. If we define sports washing as applying sports as a political tool to gain political results, then definitely yes. I do think there's sports washing in the country. The question we have asked ourselves, people like you and me and other people in the media center where we just left a few minutes ago, which is packed with journalists, is it sports washing or is it sports marketing? And I guess that question kind of stays with us, doesn't it? There was a French guy as well. He's writing a PhD project about sports politics here in Rwanda. And he used the term that they are playing the game.
Yeah.
They're playing the game of international institutions. Rwanda is also contributing to UN security forces. They're also very actually complying with climate conventions and other international conventions. So they're kind of, you know, bringing that leverage to the international playing field.
Yeah.
And I think this is a way of doing the same, isn't it? Kind of opening up to the world and organizing, you know, great major sporting events and kind of, you know, making themselves known in the international arena and making themselves very difficult to criticize. There was a long article in the British magazine, The Guardian, newspaper, The Guardian, that I can highly recommend.
Yeah.
I'm not the one writing it, but I can recommend it. And there was a journalist who suggested that it's actually very difficult in various European governments to criticize this country because they've brought some leverage. You know, they are also discussing, they were discussing with the UK, also with my own country, Denmark, to receive asylum seekers, people coming from the Middle East. They're seeking asylum in UK. And actually, Rwanda has they've offered taking them in. So, so sorry for the long response to your listeners here in Namibia. But I think they are really playing the game and, you know, also looking where they're coming from. They're in a region with a neighboring country like the DRC, which is in shambles.
Yeah.
It's a so-called failed state. They're also bordering to other countries with big, big problems like Uganda, Burundi also had a very, dire past and some challenges. So they're trying to do things their own way. And, you know, in a way, I can't really blame them for that. And sometimes I think our focus is perhaps a bit narrow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's a bit difficult to be objective about this because, you know, you come in with certain thoughts and then you come here, you see, okay, there is clear development happening here. But then at the same time, you're like, you're still questioning, like, what is the true meaning behind this development? But I think, you know, as objectively as you can see, I think, Rwanda is doing a good job in terms of development. And my last question for you is, as someone who's studied Africa, you know, extensively, do you think this model here can be replicated across the continent? As you mentioned, there's countries with many, many problems on the continent. Do you think they can learn a thing or two from Rwanda?
I think they can. I think they can. Thank you so much for the question. But let's also look at what Rwanda has to offer. They have relatively good infrastructure. You and I, we've been around and we've seen the great roads. It's safe here. It's very safe. Not all African countries, unfortunately, are safe. Also, they actually have some great facilities now. They are building more and more facilities. We are in a state-of-the-art convention center, speaking to your listeners from here. So, of course, it requires that African countries are building infrastructure, facilities, in order to host similar events. On top of that, Rwanda also has a kind of, you know, sports branding strategy. Some of your listeners might know Visit Rwanda, which is on the shirts of big teams in Europe, football teams in Europe. And I think that could be a strategy for other countries as well. And interestingly enough, I think in the next maybe 5 or 10 years, we'll see Rwanda actually also kind of go into a new era of sports politics and strategy, mm-hmm. whereby they start developing their own sporting sector, like building strong national football leagues, yeah. strong national basketball leagues,
yeah.
And also developing a lot of talents. You and me, we were invited for an event mm-hmm. here, whereby we were presented to a so-called satellite center
yeah.
where young, promising, bike riders, mm-hmm. Are now being developed here in Rwanda. So I think, you know, this is only the beginning for Rwanda's sports strategy, and it might take different turns, and let's embrace it and remain critical, and also remember, that not everything is perfect in the country.
Yeah.
And also let me say this, like coming from Europe, and some of you listening might be like, ah, why is this white guy from Europe speaking about Africa? I completely understand them. I think mm-hmm. we need to remain humble
mm-hmm.
And also, you know, kind of celebrate the progress of Africa.
Yeah.
This is the first time an African country has ever hosted, a world championship of cycling.
Yeah, it's incredible.
For me, that's the main narrative.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad about some of my colleagues from other European countries coming here, and then all they focus about is, you know,
the negative
things and lack of democracy, like, which is probably true, but for me, it's just not the overarching story.
Exactly. Unless there's anything else you want to share before I let you go, I want to thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll have you back on the Eagle Sports Zone.
No, let me also thank you so much for just inviting me here, and I'm looking very much forward to be back not only in Windhoek but also Katima Mulilo and other places in your beautiful country.
thank you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was the conversation we had with our good friend, a booster from Denmark by way of Zambia, by another way of Rwanda, giving us a very interesting perspective on the whole thing. Don't forget, if you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 0832888401. Booster giving us a very interesting perspective on things, you know, and especially on a geopolitical level. He broke it down very interestingly. And I think this conversation that I had with Booster, you know, is an example of what sport can do. Of what sport can ignite. You know, in, me and Booster, if it weren't for sport, probably would never ever cross paths in life. But, you know, as we said in the interview, we actually might have, because he was covering our national elections. So we actually might have crossed paths there, but you understand the point that I'm trying to make. You know, sport brought us together. You know, we got to learn about each other's cultures. You know, you have, two foreigners in one country because of sport, learning about the culture of one country and, you know, coming to an understanding as to what is happening in the particular country. So thanks very much to Booster. I'm confident we'll have him back on the show, especially on other topics that we discuss here on Eagle FM. I think he will be able to provide us some great insight. You know, it might turn him into our Danish African correspondent when it comes to certain topics. But, before we move on to our conversation with Olivia, I'd like to give you some sports scores. We just had Barcelona lose 4-1 to Sevilla. Quite a shocking result there in La Liga. Right now you have Manchester City beating Brentford 1-0. Earlier today you had Everton beat Crystal Palace 2-1. You had Aston Villa beat Burnley 2-1. You had Newcastle beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. And then you had Wolves and Brighton playing to a 1-1 draw. Yesterday you had Manchester United beating Sunderland 2-0, Tottenham beating Leeds 2-1, and then Chelsea beating Liverpool 2-1 thanks to a 95th minute winner from the youngster Estevao Willian, the young Brazilian that Chelsea signed this year. So we're now going to move on to our conversation with Olivia, kind of keeping it in the cycling conversation, but this time coming from Namibia, not from Kigali. We're talking to Olivia Shililifa, young cyclist who has, as I said at the top of the show, going to join us in a few moments to talk about her journey, to talk about her career, to talk about her love for cycling. And so you, the listeners, can get to know her as well. One of Namibia's most promising athletes, you know, has represented us internationally, has actually qualifies as a pro cyclist. She was once signed to a pro team in Kenya. And she's now with Simon Cycling, you know, which is about as pro as you can get in Namibia. So we'll hear from her in a few moments. Stay tuned in to Eagle FM. Stay tuned into the Eagle Sports Zone. And on the other side of this commercial break, we will be right back, and we'll be back with Olivia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Okay, welcome back. Joining us now on the Eagle Sports Zone is the one and only Olivia Shililifa, one of Namibia's upcoming cycling sensations, joining us here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Olivia, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. So, you know, before we get into your big win recently, let's start, you know, from the very beginning. Introduce yourself, your age, where you're from, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, okay, guys. Hi, guys. Once again, my name is Olivia Shililifa, and I'm a professional cyclist. I started riding in 2019 through the Physically Active Youth. That's when my journey really, really started. So joining the Physically Active Youth, which is a school afternoon program that caters for sports and education, I finally found my way through there, and they gave me that platform to just, you know, just do what I fell in love at this point to get. So yeah, 2019, that was when the dream was born, and when I really, really decided that I wanted to go pro was 7 months of starting. I was selected to go to SA to ride for the school MTB league in Brits, and that was when the dream was really born per se. So yes, I'm 23 years of age. Okay. And yeah, that is
So when you say you're a professional cyclist, what exactly does that mean?
When I say I'm a professional athlete, cyclist rather, is I was once signed with a pro continental team, which is the Kenyan SRAM generation. And it's just me personally saying that I'm taking it professionally. Like, I would want to one day say I am getting and earning a salary from it one day. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's we understand what you mean when you say that.
Exactly.
So, recently, you know, you won the MTN Kemani Road Classic. You won that, and I'm seeing it by almost 40 minutes ahead of second place.
Yes.
Tell us about, that experience. in Eswatini, and yeah, how you feel about bringing home the gold medal?
Well, that was an amazing, amazing race. I would not lie to you. And it was just by the grace of God. I had a really rough second half of the season. And I think this was just another way to say that, all hard work had to pay off sooner or later. And heading to Eswatini, that just, it was a special win for me because I had to kind of just practice, do what I practice, what I always practice on training and just bring it onto race mode. I wanted to try something different, and I think Eswatini just gave me that platform to do that.
Excellent, excellent. And so were you racing like, representing Namibia, or it was just an individual race?
Yeah, it was just an individual race, but obviously when the moment I step out of the country, that means I'm representing Namibia, I'm representing everyone back at home, and yeah, it's never all about me in the end. It's always about my country that I have to.
No, I definitely represented as well there. So I want to ask you about the growth of cycling in Namibia. In your view, how has the sport been growing since you started? And what do you foresee, or maybe what do you want to see out of the this growth of cycling in Namibia?
One thing I can say is that here it is growing, and I think we're headed in the right direction, and it's just becoming more competitive, which is great. I mean, like, that's, it gives you more motive and more reason for you to train harder. And I think by the grace of God, I believe we are headed in the right direction, especially now that we have Roger Serin that won the world championship at junior level. I mean, he just like, he just stated that it is possible, and we, I mean, I'm super, for me, I'm a fan of that, and it just makes it more easier and to believe in yourself, that if you really, really believe in yourself and what you really want to do, I mean, it's possible. Through those heights.
Most definitely, most definitely. Now, as that, I want to also ask you about the training.
Yes.
You know, give us some insight into what does the, for, I mean, for the listeners that don't know, she cycled to the studio today. So give the listeners some insight into, you know, the training life of a professional Namibian cyclist. What's your schedule like? How difficult is it?
It is really, it is, I won't lie, it's getting hectic, and it requires you to be both mentally and physically just aware of what you're doing. And like you said, I cycled, I had to just do some hours today just to, you know, just to open up the legs for the weekend and stuff like that. But I was, my hours are a bit bad, like they're crucial. Like when you go back home, it's that thing of like, yo, what did I do? Like, what am I doing? But it's those days when you are, when you do those long hours and brutal hours, or when you put in the work, these are the days that you come and celebrate and be like, oh, so the long hours that I put in was all for this big day.
Yeah,
and all
that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, this season, how has this season been for you? And, you know, coming towards the end, but tell us how's your season been overall?
I would say I'm so fortunate and really, really blessed. I thank God so much because this was my first year elite. And so coming through with the elite, I was shocked. But I mean, it was such a beautiful season, though somewhere, you know, you get setbacks, but you don't always look at the setbacks. So you look at them as ways of how do I bounce back? And yeah, but I won't lie to you. This was one of the seasons that I really loved. I felt I was more in tune with myself. I felt like I had more time to really just channel through what I'm doing and just don't necessarily have to look at what other people are doing. I just focused on myself, and I tried to do what I did or what I'm doing best through the grace of God. You know, one thing I can always say is that God has been always a big part of my life, especially through this, with this journey, has always played a big role. And falling back to scriptures such as Jeremiah 29 verse 11 for me has been always, every time when I felt like I'm not moving, it always reminded me that he has a plan for me. And even when I didn't really achieve what I wanted to achieve, I think those scriptures, falling back on scriptures, always really motivated me to get back and just, you know, get going, because in the end, it's not for my glory, but it's for His glory.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. That's very important.
Yes.
And how was your, you know, we had the Tour de Windhoek?
Yes.
This year? How was that experience for you?
Unfortunately, I couldn't really, really live through the Tour de Windhoek, but then for the first two stages, which was the prologue and the stage one, mm-hmm. it was really amazing because I spoke to my coach and I was like, Coach Jafet Amukushu, mm-hmm. and, he said, I think it's a nice way to see where we are at that African level before mm-hmm. we try to aim for the European level. So for me, just having to see where I finished, especially finishing top 15 mm-hmm. in the second stage, I think that was a big, I just saw the growth. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately I couldn't finish the tour because something, I had a mechanic and that made me not complete my tour. Mm-hmm. It was sad, but
yeah.
Those are the things that come with being a professional. We right. take both the good and the bad.
Exactly. And you know, you're competing against cyclists, other African cyclists. But I know before that you've competed in other international competitions. Tell us about some of those experiences and how it is to compete against, you know, whether it's Africa's best or yeah. the world's best. What is that experience like? How do you see yourself compared to them?
Yes, I think for me, that has always been a privilege for me, because mm-hmm. having to be at the start line with a Diana from Rwanda, currently riding for the Canyon SRAM, mm-hmm. and my former teammates from Canyon SRAM, I think has been always a blessing, because you look at yourself and you try to measure yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you can compete and finish with them, it means that, I mean, it should show that there is growth, you see. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we are headed in the right direction. It might look very slow, but definitely there is traction and there is progress. Mm-hmm. So it was a beautiful feeling just to start with the most amazing African woman,
yeah.
you know, and it was not only participating, it's like everyone was literally competing, and it is like everyone was just bringing their best. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing for me. And yeah, it was really fun to just see them once again and, you know, experience that.
Yeah.
It was no influence from Europe or anything like that, but mm-hmm. it was more of African, where it was like African best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is a nice way to say it.
No, that's good to hear.
Yes.
What are some countries that you've gotten to see because of cycling?
That's quite, okay. So I think I've been to France, uh-huh. Italy, Poland.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Eswatini, South mm-hmm. Africa. I've been to Botswana. I've been to, Austria. Mm-hmm. I've been to Germany. I've been, yeah, quite a lot.
Full passport.
I mean, like, with cycling, it really changed my life. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even about the traveling, but it's just the amount of people that you get to meet mm-hmm. in different countries, not even forgetting Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, amazing people. And all over the world, you get to experience people's cultures
yeah.
and you get to make a family. And yeah. that is the biggest, I think, outcome for me being mm-hmm. in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is what I can basically say about that.
Which one was your favorite?
Italy. Is
your
favorite, so, yeah? Italy. Till today, Italy. I will not lie to you. Italy is so beautiful, and just the racing, the terrain, the atmosphere, and as you race, you're racing both like with the, it's like kind of like Namibia, where you're like where the desert meets the ocean, but a beautiful view, and it was just the people were amazing. And unfortunately, I didn't have pizza in Italy. I couldn't.
No pizza. Wow.
I didn't
pasta.
Try. I had pasta, but yeah. I didn't have pizza. I was racing.
So one thing I want us to discuss, you know, is as the more I've been following cycling, the more I've seen or experience that, you know, it's a very, it's an expensive sport. It's not a cheap sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, not all participants
have access to the same equipment or resources. So I want you to touch on, like, I don't know if we can call it an issue in the sport, but the fact that this exists in the sport, you know, how expensive of a sport it is to enter. And then, you know, once you do enter, some teams still have, you know, better equipment than others and things like that. How does that impact you?
How does that impact me? I came from the physically active youth, where we were
like, oh, did you actually?
Yes, I was a participant.
Yeah.
So we had the most amazing equipment, but not the best also.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that my coach always told us that you use what you're given.
Mm-hmm.
If you're given that at the moment, it's, we were always taught never to complain about the equipment and rather just ride your bike. Cause mm-hmm. the more you ride your bike, the more people get to see you. And if there's always going to be someone that will be genuine enough to come and help you if mm-hmm. they see they need to help you, you get.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I really came from that, atmosphere where we never complain what you're given. You use what you're given
mm-hmm.
and just to use it to your best capabilities. And so for me, it's true. The equipment the sport is quite expensive,
mm-hmm.
but I was blessed and so fortunate enough to have the right people in my corner,
mm-hmm.
such as like Saimo, that is currently my sponsors,
mm-hmm.
my biggest supporter, which is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She just she lays it down and just like puts it down. Like, I don't know how much my mom spent in the sport just for me.
Yeah. But
honestly, those are the people that I can say truly. And there's so many more, like even my coach, he broke his bank just to,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we come from training, when he sees, cause, a lot of us or most of my teammates come from disadvantaged backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
looking, coming from a 4 or 5 hour ride and you're looking like you're starving and you know, going back home, there's nothing to go eat because you have to, you know, you have to save the bread for the little ones you get.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. he will break his bank just to go buy us just chips or like, mm-hmm. you know, bread and cold drink. And that makes so much a difference. And as much as it's so sad probably to mm-hmm. the next person looking in,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we had the most, we had fun because we came in as a family and we had a goal and we still have a goal and mm-hmm. saying that we don't look at equipment or we don't look at what we don't have. Mm-hmm. We use what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets us to a certain level, it gets us to that certain level. And that is how we basically live. And, I mean, we just shout out to all the people that have been in my corner just mm-hmm. to support me. Physically, spiritually, and all this one.
Yeah, well, certainly, it's very important to get support you can in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
So, when you say you're part of the SIMO team, tell the listeners what exactly does that mean?
SIMO has a racing team,
mm-hmm.
and they sponsor us. So there are two teams. So we have the female team and then the male team. So when I mean I'm part of the SIMO team, I just mean that SIMO for the season, for the 2025 season,
mm-hmm.
have signed me to be part of their racing team in Namibia.
Okay, and how many teammates do you have?
I have four.
Yeah.
Yes, I have four teammates.
What's your biggest goal in like your cycling career? What are you most eager to achieve in the sport of cycling?
My biggest goal will be Olympics.
Yeah.
I am aiming for
2028?
Yes, I am aiming for the 2028 LA Olympics. I am so fired up.
Yeah.
And I just, it's just getting louder and louder. And, you know, I used to be so afraid of like really telling people what my dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about time that I face that fear and and just start, you know, focusing on that. I already call myself an Olympian.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a future Olympian.
Exactly, exactly.
So I'm manifesting it into existing. Now
will that be for the road?
Yes, for the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely like to see that. And so will you be in the junior ones also coming up in, is that Senegal, I believe?
See, I'm not really quite sure with that now.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. So, yeah.
So, recently I got to attend,
UCI Road World Championships.
Yeah, how was it?
It was a good experience. It was a good experience. Good to see, you know, the world's best cyclists and so on.
Yeah.
Like the likes of Tadej and all
that. Yeah, that's nice.
But one thing that was you couldn't really avoid is the difference in, you know, skill level, but also equipment. You know, a lot of people are talking about this between the African cyclists and the European cyclists.
Yeah.
You know, obviously cycling is growing, on the continent, but still there's this like very big.
Yeah, there's a gap
between.
It's like 20 years. My coach says it's like a 20-year gap.
Okay. Firstly, what do you think about the growth of cycling on the continent? And, what are your thoughts on that gap and what needs to be done or can be done to close that gap?
I think, there's so much that has to be done first. We as athletes already have to realize that. Personally, just to say that, I think we just have to change our mindset, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we change our mindset, probably we can now then start, if only if we come together, such as, I mean, it's a great example that Rwanda hosted the first UCI World Championship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was never to be seen of, you know, thinking about it years ago. So it's a dream come true that Africa is actually getting that momentum or getting or picking up in that. But I feel we are, like I said, we are headed in the right direction. I feel by the time we are older, I think it would be the foundation will be properly laid. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't think it's gonna be the last. I don't really think it's gonna be the last.
No, I definitely think it will happen more often now.
I think.
Okay. So, we were talking about the, Rwanda hosting the UCI Road Championships, you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's definitely, I don't think it's gonna be the last time that we get the world championship. I'm just saying my personal opinion. Cause I just feel like we're headed in the right direction, especially in the female sports.
Mm-hmm.
We are growing and I know a lot of people say, the female don't have, but I feel like we have so much traction. I feel like it's more interesting to watch the female.
Mm-hmm.
Although like it's nice to watch both races, but I think there is traction and there is, it's gonna be good in the future for us, I think.
Yeah. So, what is the peak age for a cyclist? Like, what are the peak years?
Everyone, like, that question is like, more of like, so when are you thinking of like quitting or like?
No, cause you were saying in your answer, you're saying, you know, in the future, it's gonna get better.
Yeah,
so I was like, do you see yourself part of that future or?
Yes, definitely. I would really love to see myself in the future, hopefully by the grace of God also.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if that is the direction that God wants me to go, I would really love to. And, I think a lot of people say by 40.
40? Yeah.
45? Yeah, 40. But you still find women that are going beyond that, but not probably professional, but probably professional ends at 40-ish. Because I still know one or two professionals that are at 40.
Yeah, there was the oldest person at the world was, I think they said 39.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was a South African woman.
Yeah, maybe Ashley. Maybe Ashley.
Could be.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how old she is, but yeah.
Who's your favorite cyclist, whether pro or even amateur?
Oh my God. I'm looking at Kim Lockhart.
Mm-hmm.
She's someone that really inspires me. Kim Lockhart, and she recently won the yellow jersey at the Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Kim Lockhart has been always someone that I looked up to. And then our Namibian favorite, Viera Losa, she's also someone that I look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And just her, me seeing her transitioning from the road to the mountain and still be able to perform at that level, it just shows that sometimes rebranding is also quite important. And I mean, like, she just showed me that, I mean, if you still love doing what you love, I mean, all you just need to do is just perfect it and just keep going and keep doing what you love the most.
Mm-hmm.
But last but not least is Cassia from Kenyan SRAM.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also someone that I really look up to.
Yeah. No, the women are doing well in cycling, especially the African women.
Yeah.
So what, share with the listeners, why do you love cycling? Like, what is it about cycling that's just
so your funny thing is someone asked me that yesterday, and I actually had to go back in archive. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I started cycling was 2018, I lost my dad. Mm-hmm. And when I lost my dad, I didn't have a sense of direction or sense of purpose, mm-hmm. if I could put it in that way. And funny thing, or fortunately for me, or blessed I am to say, everything came or aligned so perfectly, because that's the same time I was accepted at the Physically Active Youth. Mm-hmm. And that was also the same year that the cycling was founded. Like my coach, Jafet Amakushi, came to the center just to give back. And that's when he wanted to start the whole team. He wanted to have his own team. Mm-hmm. And I always say thank you to Marathon, because without Marathon, I would not be the rider that I am, mm-hmm. Marathon Sugar. And so Marathon came on board, sponsored us, and that's when the dream really, really began. So at that point, I felt like cycling was the only thing that I could channel my hurt and mm-hmm. just transfer everything that I couldn't really express, because I was so lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do with my life at that point. I didn't see any value in myself. And when I started seeing challenges that that I went through basically with cycling, mm-hmm. it just helped me channel so much, and it made me feel like, oh, maybe I have a sense of purpose, maybe there is direction, maybe, you know, God has a plan for me. And that was where everything began, honestly.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Tell us about Physically Active Youth. You know, I've interviewed a few mm-hmm. of the kids in Physically Active Youth at different races I've been to.
Okay.
So, but as a former Physically Active Youth member yourself, tell us what it is. What do you guys do? How it started? How can people join, and so on?
Yeah, so basically, like I said, Physically Active Youth is an afternoon school program that caters for not so privileged kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's a program that is meant to just help, especially through sports and education. Mm-hmm. And how you can get there is you can go to the Kajutrit Youth Center mm-hmm. and apply. Usually they do or take application forms from October. And when I say October, the 1st of October, as in like yesterday. So uh-huh. it's quite a big thing. I mean, it changed my life, you know, mm-hmm. not only with the cycling, but, you know, they teach us life skills. They're very big on life skills. Mm-hmm. And they also just advocate so much of, you know, self-awareness, mm-hmm. who you are, your identity. And, you know, they focus so much on, like, as a Namibian child, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that is so important, because if you miss this crucial age of not really knowing yourself, it becomes really hard to just, you know, figure yourself out when you're that side, and that's when you start going crazy, or I don't want to say crazy, but, you know, just, you don't really have a sense of direction or purpose.
Yeah.
So with that, they help you focus and just find, what are you good at? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be in life? Do you mm-hmm. get? And I think that is the biggest, or has been the biggest, blessing for me, having to also just go there. Cause without them, they made us practice public speaking. Mm-hmm. They must, you know, mm-hmm. all this funny, not funny, sorry, but they made us, you know, they trained us so well, how to treat yourself, how to treat someone else in public, how mm-hmm. to be, you know, just a normal, beautiful, amazing Namibian citizen.
Yeah, exactly.
That is doing well for the economy.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. And how long can a person be part of Physically Active Youth?
No, I mean, I know the former ones, they start off like grade one till grade 12.
Grade one already?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it depends where you are and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did you join?
I joined when I was 17 years old. So I only had 2 years.
Okay.
That was like grade 11. So I only spent 2 years there.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 years. But obviously we visit back and we go back and say hi, pop up, and, you know, cause pay is home.
Exactly.
Is boss.
No, it sounds like I'm glad that such a program exists. I always see them at the.
Yeah, it's the quite great.
What's been the biggest challenge so far in your cycling career?
to be honest, just having the mental, mm-hmm. mental sometimes gets to you, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, as when I speak about mental, as when you feel like you didn't achieve something or a certain goal that you have,
mm-hmm.
you set for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then you feel like, oh, you didn't achieve it, and then it's like you have to bounce back. But like I always said, I have the right people, like my coach, my mom, you know, and all the other people that, you know, that are always praying for me. And
yeah.
with that, you look at that and you look at what people are doing in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it just gives you that motivation to say that, hey, you know, I'm not alone, you know.
Exactly.
I'm not alone. I have people that actually care. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how I bounce back. And my biggest blessing is knowing God also.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I said earlier, falling back on the scriptures when I get into those days.
Exactly. What's been the longest race you've done in your career?
Oh, it was a tour. Yeah, that was in Europe.
Yeah.
That was, Europe. I would love to say in Poland. It was so long that I was, I think, the last one to finish. And it took me, like, I think 5 or 6 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. And at that time, I was like, my European season was so learning.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn a lot from it. But, I mean, it made me who I am. I won't even lie.
So do you participate in the European season every year?
No, yeah. I only went to Europe when I was signed to the my former team, which mm-hmm. was the Kenyan Shrimp Generation team. So that was the time I went there.
How did the Kenyan team, like, find you?
Oh, till today, I wouldn't even know how exactly, but yeah. I was just contacted. They sent me an email. And funny thing about that, hey, before they even contact me, my coach was like, you guys have to, I always tell this story because
mm-hmm.
it's part of my story. Because when we started, we didn't have professional, because obviously that was the time Instagram's, like, I got hooked onto Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and I had this, you know, because I was still, like, in school,
mm-hmm.
and I was just thinking, like, Instagram is for the, like, when you're going out and stuff like that. But then mm-hmm. I had to close down one of my accounts and just get into a professional one. Like, get into a professional one. And then he told us, no, you guys have to make a professional account where you put your email. And that was the time when I also got hooked on the email thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started posting. I was doing my updates, the race yeah. updates yeah. and all of it. And they emailed me through, I think they saw maybe my email address or my, cause that was also the time I won the under 23 jersey. So maybe that was why also they saw, cause it was more focused on under 23 and elite.
Okay.
And then they contacted me.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. The East Africans, they're doing so well. And you know, Team Amani, those guys. Also,
yes,
you know.
They are.
So what's the difference between riding in Europe and here? What would you say is the biggest difference?
The biggest difference is the intensity. Like, I would say Namibia is getting there because mm-hmm. it's also really hard to race in Namibia, but also it's just a different form of racing. Is those guys, they are so aggressive from the word go. Like, when I say aggressive is, we are in neutral start, but it felt already like we are racing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time neutral start ends, you are so worn out
mm-hmm.
that you are unable to even race because you're so, it's that crazy. It's like,
yeah,
they're so aggressive, like super, super aggressive.
And like terrain wise, which one do you, what's the difference and which one do you prefer?
I think a lot of people will say, no, Europe has more altitude, but I feel like Namibia has more altitude because when we used to train in Girona, yes, there are climbs that we don't have here, like more technical climbs and stuff like that. But I would say it's harder in Namibia than in Europe, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
It's just that someone will look at it like, oh, the climbs, yeah, we don't have longer climbs, so why don't you say Europe? But I will say training in Namibia is hard, guys. It's so hard.
It
like,
is.
It's so hard compared to the other side. it's just that we are not blessed with longer climbs or technical climbs, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's way harder than in Europe.
And with the heat as well.
Exactly. But with all that, we get used to the heat, the weather, everything. You just get used to it. So it doesn't really become, like I was always told that you would want to train yourself in worse conditions so that when the race comes, it's easier for you because everyone else will be complaining, but you'll be like, okay, I've been training here, so it's easier for me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So do you do road and mountain or just road?
I do both. I'm also currently trying to tap into the gravel because I've seen, it's really exciting. I really love the Commerce. I enjoyed myself at the Commerce 100. And I think gravel is something that you guys should be looking out for me. Like,
which one do you prefer?
Road, definitely.
Road?
Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Road. Road. I'm a roadie.
Mm-hmm. So, what are your, before I ask this one, have you had any bad crashes in your career?
No, I don't even want to think about it. I had my, just minor ones, just like falling on the road and just like, But yeah, it's something that you're always scared about.
I can imagine. I can imagine. On the bike, everyone is so close together.
Exactly. Especially with a road bike. I think from both disciplines and anything can be worse. So,
Okay. My last question for you is, tell me about the Namibian Cycling Federation. What's your relationship with them? What are your thoughts on them?
I find it that the Namibian Cycling Federation is a very supportive, federation. It supports me and with the other people as well. So yeah, it's quite, I love the leadership and I see the traction that they're putting or giving and just what they're providing to us athletes. Cause these are the things that you look at other countries, they tell you what is happening in their federation and you're like, yeah, but this is with us, it's like this and it's like, it's way better. And I think we are very, very fortunate to have a team, that is really dedicated to, just seeing the development and the growth in us and just wanting to see the best of us. So I think I truly believe that it's a nice way. It's a nice thing that is currently leading and yeah.
Now, lastly, before I let you go today, what's anything you would say to people out there that aren't into the sport of cycling yet, especially girls or women? Well, why should they get into cycling?
I mean, first, I would want to tell them, if you're going to get into cycling, you should really, really think about it. Like, it's not even just about getting on the bike. It's about the mental, the physical, everything about it. But if you are into the sport, it's amazing. Trust me, once you get on the bike, you'll never put the bike down. Whether it's just casual riding.
It's true.
He got himself a bike as well. So I think it's just the coffee dates, the rides. You get to meet a lot of people, and I think that is just, that has been the most amazing part of my life. Just getting to meet different people, different cultures, and just getting involved with everyone and just trying to have that fine or just amazing atmosphere.
A lot of people ask me when you're doing these long rides, like, what do you think about on the bike? What do you answer to that when people say, what do you think about on
the bike?
On the bike for 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah, like, I have my training partner likes training with music, and for me that doesn't work.
Really?
I don't like training with music. I think it's just something it grew with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not only about the safety, but I think for me it's just that I like listening to myself. I like the thoughts, and just sometimes you just zone out, hey, like you don't even think anything, like you just zoned out and you just focused on what you need to accomplish. But there are just those days when you're just randomly thinking about like weird stuff, like what are you going to eat, like what are you going to do after training, and just human basic stuff. But yeah, it's quite, if you have a large group, it's quite fun because then it kind of gets you to not think about what is happening at home because you're so tuned in with conversating if you're not dead by then. You're not dead.
Yeah.
But it helps you tune in with others, and you get to also, like I say, you get to socialize, and you know, you just get to experience what other people are, what other people are going through, and you have amazing conversations with them.
Mm. What's been your favorite cycling experience so far?
I think, I'm not sure if, they still that race. There used to be this race called, the Three Passes. Hey,
mm-hmm.
That race was so amazing. It's like, we didn't do it like from a racing point, but mm-hmm. it was more like, you know, like the long ride. It's a mountain bike race.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't lie to you. That was so, we drove from Kufferberg into the, there's a the Roy Sun.
Yeah.
There's a camp there. I don't know, something
mm-hmm.
called Roy Sun. And I mean, just riding from here to Roy Sun was such an amazing. And that time I was with my former teammate Ashanti Ojas. I started with her cycling,
mm-hmm.
and we were like with the Raju and Raju and Simon Keita. Those are the people we started the whole team. Mm-hmm. I started with them riding.
Yeah.
So riding with them was such an It was a great experience with my two coaches, Coach Fifi,
mm-hmm.
And Coach Jafet Amukushu.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful experience because we ended up doing we did the pass, the Kufferberg pass or something like this, the pass mm-hmm. along there. And I would not lie to you. That was until today, that whole trip, I never forget about it because it's so amazing. To be honest, there have been other amazing ones.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was top.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good to hear.
Yes.
I would like to, now that you described it, I also want to, I want to do that also one day.
Yeah. I don't know if it happens still, but maybe it does, but I'm not really sure. I haven't heard of it, like maybe for the past 2 years or so.
So, tell the listeners about, I don't know if you know, that's something you like, but you know, people do, like bike camping now.
Yes.
Is that something you do as well?
I don't do it because I'm scared of the snakes. But I love, I'm not sure if, I believe you know Dan Craven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, through Nguza.
Mm-hmm.
Dan always loves, he always invites me to his bike camping, and like, he made me kind of lose my fear
because
he doesn't really go to also like just open, like it's quite nice places that I set up. So Dan really exposed me to the whole bike packing.
Yeah.
No, really shout out to him because hey, I always think about the snakes, but the places that he chooses, like so amazing, beautiful places, that, you know, we get to go to, and we just camp there and then we do some shoots with the Nguza bike. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's always fun with him because I believe he's one of the best bike packers in.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of our like best cyclists. Period.
Exactly, exactly. So I feel like he has more knowledge on those like the bike packing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love going out. I trust him on that bike packing.
No doubt. Okay, yeah. My last question for you, I promise, is talk to us about the Desert Dash. Tell us your experience with the famous Desert Dash.
Oh, the famous Desert Dash, yo. See, I love the Dash because it's not only about the racing,
mm-hmm.
but it starts already with the training. Mm-hmm. I like my coach always told us, like, if you're not in tune with your teammate, Dash is gonna be gonna be a long day for you. It's gonna be long because you already have to start training how you guys are communicating.
Mm.
How would you communicate? The foundation needs to be laid up already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys are not training on that, it's gonna be hard. Like, you need to know what are your partner's strengths? Mm. What are your partner's weakness? Because with Dash, it will test you. My brother, it will test you. I won't even lie to you.
Yeah.
It will test you. But it becomes, when you cross that line and having to cross it with the people I call home, I know we've been close to winning it, hopefully one day. But I mean, like, we have traction with Simon and Marwan, Clear Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They won it last year, or they came third last year. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just to show us that, we are close.
We're getting there.
Yeah. But I'm just saying it's amazing. It's an amazing race, and it's something that would really, really challenge you, mm-hmm. not only physically, but, your relationship with the next person. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate when you're under pressure? That's why I love it so much, because it's how do you respond to pressure, or mm-hmm. how do you handle pressure mostly? Mm-hmm. And in those, when things are not going right for you, how do you overcome that? How do you, you know, all those setbacks and yeah. challenges that Desh will throw, whether it's technical, mm-hmm. mechanical or anything, or like even physical, if your partner starts not feeling well, because mm-hmm. you get that a lot. And if the weather starts getting in the way, or your teammate, how do you guys overcome that? And that's the beauty and the most amazing thing about Desh.
So you've always done it as a foreman?
Yeah, I've always done it as a foreman.
Yeah.
I've always done it as a foreman, yeah.
As a foreman, you cycle how many kilometers?
In total, I think we do 150, 160, because if you do, I think if you have 80, if my math is right, if you're doing the other stage, which is 80, and then like the last 50 is like probably 130, 150, yeah.
So each does 130?
Yeah, like each person does 130.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Olivia, thank you very much for your time. Unless there's anything else you want to say to the listeners before I let you go today.
Yes, I would love to just say thank you to my sponsors. Mm-hmm. That is also in regards to the MTN Kamani. Without those people, I would not be where I am, mm-hmm. especially the Sports Commission, our Namibian Sports Commission. They helped us so much with mm-hmm. the transport getting to MTN. I had Mr. Rifangwai. He's a cyclist, and he also helped me. It was a self-funded race.
Okay.
But then, you know, with all these people, I had people that also just came about just to say, hey, you know, we're looking at you, and we're supporting you. Mm-hmm. And obviously my mother.
Yes.
My mother. Yeah. Monica Ilonga. Like, I shout out to her that, oh, she did so much. And mm-hmm. there's another group. Oh, there's another sponsor that helped us, which is the Track Holding Group. It's a construction group, and they really came on board to just get us that side. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, obviously the Namibian Cycling Federation and SIMOT.
Of course. And where can the people follow you?
On Facebook, Instagram is just Olivia_Shilifa_cycling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Thank you very much for your time, Olivia, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. This was amazing.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was the conversation we had with the one and only Olivia Shililifa, speaking to us about her cycling journey, her cycling career, the reason why she likes cycling, and how she got to where she is today. Now, she has a very interesting story, I think, because before I interviewed her, I did not know that she was part of the physically active youth, which we've interviewed several riders from there. If you've seen on our Eagle FM social media pages, we've interviewed several riders from them, and they've always caught my attention because, you know, when we attend these races, as we alluded to in the conversation with Olivia, when you attend these races, it's very noticeable. Like, it's, you can't avoid it, really. It's very noticeable, like, who, the equipment that certain riders have and don't have. Unfortunately, that's just how the sport of cycling goes. Like, you can see from the very beginning, before they even get on, you know, you can see the type of bike, the type of, just gear that they're wearing, you know, you can see. And so I was always fascinated by the physically active youth, because they always just seem so excited to be at these races. And, you know, when I first got wind of this program, what they do for the kids, it was quite a a great experience because I didn't know we had something like this. And especially in the sport of cycling, I didn't know that, that there's initiatives like this for the sport of cycling, for the youth of Windhoek. And that so many youths, or so many, yeah, so many youth are interested in cycling as well. And so for the program to produce someone like Olivia, I think is a testament to, you know, the importance of the program, because who knows, had it not been for physically active youth, we might not see Olivia in the light that we see her today. And, you know, that's, it's why a program such as this exists, to give an opportunity to the, to those that normally might not have the opportunity. And we can see once people get opportunity, you can see what they can achieve, like we saw, or like we are seeing with Olivia. And hopefully, like she said, we will see her in the Olympics in 2028, representing the country once more on the international stage. And you know, it's great to hear someone like Olivia. You know, as she said, she was part of the physically active youth, but she's been to so many countries now because of cycling. You know, she was listing countries off like it's nothing. You know, saying, "Oh, I was in training in Girona," things like that. That's again the power of sport. What sport can do for a person, and I think Olivia is a great example of that. And so, if you'd like to chime in with your thoughts, maybe you have questions for Olivia. The number in the studio is 083-288-4401. That's 083. That's 083-288-4401 here in our Windhoek studio. Eagle FM, good evening. Do call back if you'd like to chime in as usual. A update on the Man City. Fixture, they ended up winning that one 1-0 with Haaland scoring in the opening 10 minutes of the match. The Premier League table now reads, the English Premier League table now reads as follows. We have Arsenal in first place on 16 points, Liverpool in second place on 15 points, Tottenham in third on 14, Bournemouth in fourth on 14, and Man City in fifth on 13 points. The bottom three consists of Wolves, West Ham, and Burnley. Before, actually going into another international break, seems like we have one every week now. It feels like this year. But another international break, World Cup qualifiers, of course, that means the Brave Warriors will be in action as well. The last two fixtures that we have, really must wins. You know, the chances are slim as is, but if we're to give ourselves any chance at all, we, anything other than 6 points over these next two matches will not be enough to get, put us in contention for the 2026 World Cup happening in, that is the USA, Canada, and Mexico. Don't forget, tomorrow being Monday means that your favorite newspaper is coming out. That is the Villager e-paper being published tomorrow morning. If you'd like to become a subscriber to the Villager, where you'll get your latest in business, economic, agricultural, policy development related, even sports, then look no further than the Villager e-paper coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday mornings and Friday mornings, coming to you for free. If you'd like to become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message. Very important that you do this on WhatsApp to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144 if you'd like to become a subscriber of the Villager. Again, it's for free. You have to save, make sure you save the contact as well, so that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's sent directly to your WhatsApp inbox. And if you'd like to receive it over email, include your email as well. and you can receive it in your email bright and early. First thing, Monday morning. So, we'll get into a quick musical break. On the other side of this, from our resident musician, Mr. Jimmy Cliff, we will round off our conversation for today. And look ahead to the week. What we have coming up in local sports news, you know, the local sports scene is drying up a little now, it feels like. But, you know, we have our para-athletes over in India. They should be coming home in the next few days. We have the sports awards coming up. And as I said, Namibian football, this should be the thick, you know, the thick of the first round of Namibian Premier League games. But unfortunately, we know the situation there. Cricket coming up well next weekend. That's a highlight in our local sports. Next weekend we're hosting the Proteas, one of the most well-known cricket nations in the world, cricket teams in the world. So the cricket stadium will most certainly be packed to the rafters for that one. I've already heard about people coming from outside of Namibia coming to view that. Rugby season has ended a few weeks ago. Athletic season has ended. So we're heading into a bit of a dry patch in local sports. But nonetheless, we will find things to talk about here on the Eagle Sports Zone, as we always do. But we will be back on the other side of this musical intermission from our good uncle, our good friend, Mr. Jimmy Cliff.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I'm back for another 15 or so minutes before we sign off here on the Eagle Sports Zone this evening, on this warm, warm Sunday evening in the capital. And today we had what I think was some very insightful conversations. One with my good friend Booster, and the second one with the one and only Olivia Shililifa, a rising star in the not only Namibian, African cycling circuit. And I'm confident that we will hear more about Olivia's exploits this year. I have a feeling that was first of many wins for her coming up in the near future. And so if you'd like to, chime in on that, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401, and that's 0832-888-401. Now, looking ahead to what we can expect in the coming week, when it comes to sports, like I said, the main event this coming week on the sporting front is next Saturday, when we have the Proteas coming to town. That is the South African cricket team coming to town to play at our brand new cricket facility, our cricket facility that's gonna be the site for the World Cup, by the way. In when is that World Cup? 2027? That we're co-hosting with South Africa and Zimbabwe, if I'm not mistaken. So it will be the first of many high-profile international matches taking place at the stadium. And that stadium, speaking of what we spoke about with Booster today, and also what we spoke about with Elijah last week. Again, if you missed that, please. Go to the podcast section of the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na, or download the Eagle FM mobile application so you can access our podcast catalog. We can be in tune. You can tune into any program of the past, but that one in particular that I spoke of last week, it will be there. Just type in Eagle Sports Zone, and the focus that, Rwanda took as a government to just focus purely on attracting global sports, essentially. It's something that I found particularly interesting, considering what we have proposed here in Namibia. We've read out the manifesto implementation plan many times when it comes to the plans for sport in the country. And after, speaking to Elijah, and after having experienced what I got to experience, I came to the conclusion, or realization rather, that our approach is kind of in the middle. So the middle being, if on one side you had to go the one extreme of Rwanda, which is, we're only focusing on global sports. Basically, how do we become a global sports hub? How do we bring the world to Rwanda because of sport? Basically, that's Rwanda's approach to this thing we call sports, this thing we call sports development, right? This thing we call sports business. That's Rwanda's approach. And whereas ours, we kind of talk about that, but really ours is more focused on the local talent. So developing local talent. So we kind of talk out both sides of our mouth when it comes to this. Because we talk about, there's a lot of talk about the stadium, the facilities, the whole, stadium in each constituency in the country. There's a talk of the big CAF stadiums planned in 5 regions across the country. But after having experienced what I've experienced, I'm very curious if the model that Rwanda took, the approach that they took, is that something that would work in Namibia as well? And it's not to say that, because I asked the question, if you heard in the interview, I asked the question. So I don't understand why and how, the government of Rwanda focus so heavily on sports, but their local sports is not doing good. Like, you don't hear about really anyone coming from Rwanda when it comes to sports. Maybe some runners, cyclists now, that they're coming up in cycling as well, but that's not like if you're really, really in tune. But we don't, on the world stage, we don't hear about Rwandan athletes or Rwandan teams like that. And so I asked the question, I said, why is this? And they said, simply put, for lack of a better word, simply put, is that there's no money to be made there. The money is made by hosting, UCI World Championships. The money is made by NBA Africa. The money is made by all these big international events that come to Rwanda because of what they've built, facility-wise, infrastructure-wise. And that's what they're happy with. That was their goal. And so, of course, they haven't neglected local sports completely, but it's not to the... There's no pipeline of Rwandan talent being pumped out anytime soon, at least to my knowledge, right? And that is because they've put this focus on global sports, simply sports as a business. How can we as a country make money from sport? And they found a solution. They figured out how to do it, and they're doing it right now as we speak. And so that was interesting when it comes to sports development, Because when we think sports development, when we think about developing our sports infrastructure, for the most part in Namibia, the conversation is about the talent itself, like our athletes, but not necessarily the industry or the country making money from sport. And our model, if I had to give like a percentage, I would say like it's at least 70% focused on developing the local talent, which of course is very much needed. But it's just interesting when you have an example of what a country did in the totally opposite direction. I think South Africa actually is a good example as well of a country that managed to do both be a global sports hub or sports destination, as well as the development of local talent. I mean, as we know, South Africa, in almost any sport code, when it comes to continental competitions in particular, South Africa always has a representative somehow in any sport you can name. There's always a South African doing well, especially in the continental context now we're speaking. And then at the same time, they have these world-class facilities all over the country. So if there was a country we were looking to copy, I think it would be South Africa rather than our East African brothers and sisters over in Rwanda. And the Cricket World Cup I was talking about is actually in 2027. That'll be the 2027 Cricket World Cup that we are going to co-host. So exciting times ahead in the cricket front. Both the men and women are performing exceptionally. And might I add, you know, a lot of us forget that. That is probably, I'm trying to think, but it is the most professional setup we have sports-wise in Namibia. It's definitely the cricket national teams. You know, they are all contracted players. They all earn a monthly pay to play cricket. And that's a year long, not just, you know, match appearance fees or anything like we have with other sports. So Cricket Namibia leading the way again when it comes to local talent development. But yes, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. If you'd like to chime in, we have a few minutes left for you to call in. That is 0832-888-401, 0832-888-401. Of course, we'll be back same time, same place next Sunday. Now, maybe I'll put a call out to see what you guys would like to hear about next week. The past few weeks have been pretty Rwanda focused. I think my Rwanda coverage is now officially over. I think I've exhausted what I could have gotten out of the UCI Road World Championships here on the Eagle Sports Zone. You know, it was a great experience. 10 out of 10, I would rate it. Also ended up being able to interview, if you heard on the previous edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, at the time when I did the interview, I didn't know he was the only African rider to finish the men's elite race. I wish I asked him a bit more detail about that, because I thought he was one of many that crossed the line. But turns out he was the only African rider to cross the line at the UCI Road World Championships, which for me was a very big, you know, when I found that out later and I put everything else all together, it was a big sort of sign or signal about our need as a continent. Not just in cycling, but all other sports as well. Most other sports. Is this thing of us not really competing when we're part of these big international events, is we're just participants for the most part and not actual, you know, competitors. And like I said, cycling is a sport where, you know, you can have all the heart you want, but if you don't have the proper gear, you don't have the proper bike, there's really not much you can do. So it would actually be nice if, you know, in cycling, if there was like a UCI standard bike that everyone had to use. That would be very interesting, actually, to see how, you know, how teams would perform then. But back to my point of participating instead of competing. Now, we wrote about this in The Villager. Go to The Villager website. That's thevillager.com.na. To see that article about the difference or about my observation in how we participate and not compete. You know, we're not very competitive at a lot of these international events. Of course, we have our outliers. I'm thinking now of long distance running. That's our thing. That's Africa's thing. Long distance running. We absolutely dominate in that field. But other than that, most other sports, we really only participate. Football, our favorite sport. Okay, now we've been on the rise. You know, we just had Morocco reach the World Cup semifinal, first time ever for African nation to do that. So who knows? Maybe a African nation will win a World Cup, maybe in 2026, 2030, or 34. Maybe we're not far from that. But in general, there's a lack of getting us to that top elite level. And of course, there's underlying factors as to why that is. but at the UCI Road World Championships, it was quite glaring. This disparity in competition, right? And there was also another thing I would like to touch on the UCI, which would be my last thing about the championships. Yes, of course, was a historic thing, but there was also this. I couldn't help but notice this air of I don't know if pity is the correct word, but that's the best word that's coming to me, how I want to describe this. Sort of like a pity on the fact that the championships were in Africa to begin. It's like, I don't know. There were times where I didn't feel the excitement we were supposed to feel. It felt more like the cycling world felt sorry for the continent kind of thing. But perhaps this is something that needed to happen. I mean, it was the first one in Africa, so we understand. I know we'll see more on the continent that'll come as a result because of the good job that Rwanda did. But yes, the message I want to leave with you, the listeners, is let us compete and not just participate. So this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Hende, and I'll be with you again, same time, same place, next Sunday, 6 p.m., live on your number one talk radio station. We will be back. Maybe with another exciting guest, we shall see. But we will be back next Sunday, same time, same place. Thank you for tuning in, as always.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.